Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I was stranded in the bed. You were listening to the dark side.
If you stay on top of what I would call modern music, rock and roll, I think the kids call it, this is also the same song we played in the last segment, but we only heard the very beginning and the very end. And Luke promises me that this is an example of a song in the year of our Lord 2022 that I would like. Who is this, Luke?
Well, this is the Lumineers, and this is their off their new album, and it's very good. And you recommended a Lumineers song earlier today, so I thought you might like it.
I was aware of the song "Hey Ho," and I can kind of hear them saying it in the background if you listen carefully, because I feel like that's every one of their songs has got to say that now. That's their shtick, right? But
I don't know about that, but it's a quality album, and I like this single off of it. And I believe the album's called Brightside, so this is the namesake single off the album, and it's very good, and I recommend it.
All right, there you go. Something for me to try to
little homework for you, Pat.
Little homework for me. Maybe try to finally figure out Spotify and see if I can do that, because you can listen to us as a podcast on Spotify or Apple, or maybe some of the other usual places, but you can also listen to us live on the TuneIn app or tunein.com and just search for WXCO. WXCO Bull Falls Radio is our flagship station in Wausau, where we're very happy to be coming to you every morning from 8 to 11. In our last segment, we talked about some good news, the ways that the economy has indeed been improving and the way that policy is being written in a way that actually puts people first. Let's go to the flip side of that now and talk about the big money that is being poured in on the Republican side and the way that it's being spent and what it might mean for things ranging from election campaigns to, frankly, our national security. First, the overview, and this is only for the nerds, and my apologies if you're not one of them. But I really appreciate how there's a group, For What It's Worth, or FWIW. They put together a newsletter that tracks digital spending, not the spending on TV commercials, not the spending on political mail pieces, but the spending on Google, on Facebook, you know, all of the internet platforms. And what they've noticed is that Republicans have really started to slip lately. For quite a while in cycles past, they had the money to spend and they spent it online. But now you're seeing that Democratic candidates in competitive Senate, House, and gubernatorial contests are outspending their Republican opponents. Now, it's not just candidates and it's not just campaigns. I mean, if you look at the top political ad spenders on Facebook platforms, you know, Facebook and Instagram for the most recent week that was measured, the week of August 7th, the number one political ad spender is actually Big Pharma. The big pharmaceutical companies are number one on the list with their political ads, which wrap themselves up in, you know, all Americana, to say we are as good as mom and apple pie. So don't let that nasty Congress of Democrats regulate us and keep us from trying to maximize our profit at your expense. So pharma was number one. The conservative site, The Daily Wire, was actually number two. The conservative, the right-wing group, Americans for Prosperity, was number three. Number four was Georgia Democratic Senate candidate Raphael Warnock. And then also on that list of top spenders in the country, Democratic Senate candidate Mark Kelly of Arizona, or I should say Senator Mark Kelly, Democratic Senate candidate from Florida, Val Demings, and Democratic gubernatorial candidate in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, all in the top 10 spending, which I'm sure a lot of that is spending money to make money, to get more ads so that they can more closely target the voters in their own state. But if you look on just Google platforms, the top spender is something called California for Solutions. It's listed as nonpartisan. Number two spender on all Google platforms, the Republican Party of Florida. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is also in the top five list. So they clearly know that their voters, who are somewhere in their mid-90s typically, are using their Google machines and asking, you know, how many batters did Satchel Paige strike out last night? Which is still one of the greatest SNL skits ever. When we talked about Alexa and the smart speakers, Luke, I know you've seen this one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, of course. SNL is a big I've always appreciated the comedy, and so I love especially that one, and there's just a handful of classic ones that you can always just go and if you're feeling blue, you can go search an SNL skit, and YouTube's a terrific thing for that, or Google, since we're talking about acronyming Google and for what it's worth. You can search on those sites and get those great little videos for a laugh when you're not thinking about the political campaign spends for these organizations.
Yeah, when you need a break. In a somewhat related note, bringing it closer to Wisconsin, we have been talking about Wisconsin Truth PAC, which is a group backing Senator Ron Johnson.
Did they make the list?
No, they're not on this list, but I wanted to make sure I reinforced the point that so far, and this is according to Michael Best Strategies, the lobbying firm put out a summary this week, noting that Wisconsin Truth PAC has added another $1.4 million to its expenditures in ads that are specifically targeting Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Johnson's opponent, with these scary images of non-white people. But it notes that so far in 2022, the group Wisconsin Truth PAC has spent $10.7 million. And don't be fooled when you see anything from Wisconsin Truth PAC of thinking, oh, this is a whole bunch of Ron Johnson supporters. These are sweet old ladies, you know, writing checks for $30 and sending it in. No. Again, keep in mind, they have spent $10.7 million. The group has received $6.5 billion from billionaire Diane Hendricks, and $3.5 million. Did I say billion? I meant million. So they've, out of the $10.7 million spent, $6.5 million from billionaire Diane Hendricks, and $3.5 million from billionaires Liz and Dick Uihlein. And if you add that up, that comes to $10 million. So the vast majority of what Wisconsin Truth PAC is, with the many, many ads that $10 million can buy, is coming from two households with billionaires who, as we've outlined previously, received tens upon tens of millions of dollars from Senator Ron Johnson through a sweetheart tax deal that exposed less of their tremendous income to tax liability, meaning you and I had to make it all up. But the fundraising does still go on off of sweet old ladies writing $30 checks and all the rest of us out there who choose to support candidates or causes. You are aware of the FBI search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. You may not be aware that in criticizing it and in sending out wave after wave of emails, former President Donald Trump has made millions off of this. The Washington Post reports that contributions to Trump's Political Action Committee topped $1 million a day on at least 2 days after the August 8th search of his estate, according to two people familiar with the figures. The donations have stayed high for several days. And let's see, the former president's PAC brought in, you know, $36 million alone in the first half of this year. It's a cash bonanza that provides a sign that Trump continues to reap political benefits as he sends out a wave of emails with bold capital, all capital lines like, they broke into my home and they're coming after you. And then there's always the promise of a match, a common tactic used to encourage people to respond immediately, but it's never quite clear if that match is something that's an actual thing. Since leaving office, Trump has raised more than $100 million for his pack. Often, the Post notes, with misleading pitches, but has kept most of the money. He's often said that it was going to go toward all of the legal cases against him and such, but the Post notes, he's only been spending big on a handful of other election races, paying for some staff and legal fees and travel. He has apparently reportedly told advisors he wants to keep the money as it shows political strength. And if that sounds familiar to you, I would again refer you to the legislative Republicans here in Wisconsin who are sitting on a $5 billion state surplus of your money. By sitting on a pile of money, they think it shows strength, when in fact, it just means that they, like Trump, are willing to take your money, sit on it till they feel like nobody's looking, and use it not for what they're promising you, but for whatever it is they want to. I wish that were enough, but it's not. A new story from the New York Times has the headline, "An unusual $1.6 billion donation bolsters conservatives." And this time I did not mix up my millions and billions. $1.6 billion. A new conservative nonprofit group. I love how they're called a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Scored a one point. Yeah.
How does it get to classified as a nonprofit? This is a wild story.
I know. They scored a $1.6 billion windfall last year via a little known donor, an extraordinary sum that could give Republicans and their causes a huge financial boost ahead of the midterm and for years to come. The source of the money was Barry Seid, an electronics manufacturing mogul, and it may be the largest single contribution ever to a politically focused nonprofit. It's going to a group controlled by Leonard Leo, an activist who uses his connection to Republican donors and politicians to engineer the conservative dominance of the Supreme Court and to finance battles over abortion rights, voting rules, and climate change. Now, can you just write out a check for $1.6 billion? Even if you could, maybe that's something you could try to regulate, although again, with money being equal to free speech in the eyes of the Supreme Court, that's rather difficult. But this wasn't a single check that was written. And the way they get there is what really ruffles feathers. This cash infusion, because again, not a single check, this cash infusion, the Times writes, was arranged through an unusual series of transactions that appear to have avoided tax liabilities. There it is again. You know, taxes are just for the little people, for what they pay. It originated with Mr. Seid, a longtime conservative donor, who made a fortune as the chair and chief executive of an electrical device manufacturing company known as Trip Light. Rather than merely giving cash, Mr. Seid donated 100% of the shares of Trip Light to Leo's nonprofit group before the company was sold to an Irish conglomerate for $1.65 billion, according to tax records. The nonprofit then received all of the proceeds from the sale, a transaction that appears to have been structured to allow the nonprofit group and Mr. Seid to avoid paying taxes on the proceeds. Look, we're never going to get, for all the talk of we should turn the tax code into something where a 1040 is the size of a postcard, that was never going to happen. But again, we can't let this kind of complexity go unaddressed. And not only will it go unaddressed if this $1.6 billion allows the right wing to maintain control, it will only get worse. I mean, we were barely able to find, thanks to some very good reporters looking through all kinds of tax records, what we know now. Imagine how much more difficult it would be to not know who is talking to you. Whatever other independent group it may be, wouldn't it be better if you heard directly just from the candidates themselves? I'm Pat Kreitlow, and I approve this message. And we'll wrap up this hour after this.